From KUER News in Salt Lake City, I'm Dan Bomas. An advisory panel appointed by Governor Gary Herbert is getting ready to recommend a plan for protecting the sage grouse in Utah. Utah and several other states are hoping to avoid having the grouse listed as an endangered species. Biologist Allison Jones with the Wild Utah Project has attended all the group's meetings. She says the plan won't protect every place in the state where the birds are found.
Well, I'm most familiar, of course, with the Utah plan and the Wyoming plan, and to a lesser degree, what's happening in Idaho and Nevada. But many of the plans are looking to Wyoming because that plan has been completed and has been signed off on by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. So that plan puts about 86% of the current population centers of sage grouse into what they call core areas and puts some stipulations on surface development, for example, within those core areas.
And the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service itself has issued a document in the past several days giving the states guidance essentially on what it would accept.
I haven't read through the whole thing yet since it's just out, but I've seen some excerpts, and they are really going by the science and the published literature. So I can report back once I've read it from cover to cover, but my other colleagues in the science and conservation world seem to think it's pretty solid upon first read and will be a good guidance document for the states to follow.
One thing it does apparently permit, and nobody wants to use the word sacrifice, but allowing the degradation, destruction, whatever word you want to use, of a population in an area where development is occurring, such as the Uinta Basin in Utah, with an increased emphasis on protection for the birds in another area that's not under so much pressure.
So Wyoming put 86% of their population centers into core areas. Part of their reasoning was some of those places that were left out of core areas were already very degraded and fragmented. They saw the writing on the wall that those populations were very much struggling and maybe wouldn't make it at all. And so Wyoming chose to focus on the 86% within core areas and tried to make sure that management within those core areas was strong enough and conservative enough that obviously it would pass muster with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, but the ultimate goal being viability of the species in Wyoming.
But now the U.S. Fish and Wildlife is saying that approach is going to be acceptable.
That approach apparently was acceptable to the service in Wyoming. One thing to keep in mind is that Wyoming has over tenfold more individual birds than Utah. They have 200,000 or 300,000 birds in their state. We have less than a fraction of that. We have 20,000, maybe, if we're right on the estimate. And so the Fish and Wildlife Service has made it pretty clear, based on their decision 2 years ago, that this species is warranted for listing. It is in jeopardy. They've made it clear that states with smaller populations have less to gamble with here, and we need to be careful about sacrificing too many of those individuals outside of the core management areas.
In your view, is this the right approach?
The last plan, if you will, that I saw on the table with Utah's working group had about 90% of our LECs, basically, in the management areas, as they're called. They're not calling them cores. I, for one, might be okay with that 90% in the management zones, provided there are very strong protections in place within those management zones that can, you know, guarantee not only the viability of our existing populations in those management zones, but hopefully their growth. There's room to grow these populations.
Allison Jones is a biologist with the Wild Utah Project.